We are 8 episodes away from 200 episodes. 200 of these things we have done. Man, what has it been? Has it been 2 years? 2.5 years?
2 years.
Right.
Almost.
We're going on 2 years, or are we going on 3 years?
We're going on 2.
Damn, it seems like we're going on 3, I think. Well, we got to be going on... No, we've been doing this longer than 2 years because we potted from WrestleMania 39, and we're at 41 now. So, we're going on 3 years of doing this pod. But this is episode 192 of the TFW podcast. That's freaking wrestling. We are Three the Hard Way, the best kept secret in wrestling podcast today. I am your host, Matt, joined by Rhodesia, joined by Ishan. Well, let's get right to it. We're going to get this thing started. I told Ian and Rhodesia, freaks, fellow freaks, that I got one topic that I want to talk about, and then I'm just here for the jokes for the rest of the pod. Okay? That is how this is going to go for this podcast for me.
Sounds like a 45-minute pod. Yes.
And what I want to start with is the John Cena promo. That's what we have to start with that. Right? Monday Night Raw just came. I think they were in Brussels. And that crowd was hot as hell. The crowd actually saved that show in a lot of ways. But I just want to get right into it. Did you guys like the John Cena promo?
No. I can go on my tirade. But I think that yours is going to be just so much more better than mine. Unless I can get, I'll warm you up. I could be like,
you don't know that. You don't know what I'm going to say.
Okay.
That's not fair.
Okay.
You know what? I'm here for Matt and Rhodesia time right now for John Cena. Because this, you know, like in a lot of ways, this was a eulogy on Raw, right? Saying goodbye to that bullshit-ass, goofy-ass character we had to expose ourselves to for years, right? Because the only people that cheered for John Cena was, you know, children, women, and men. So I would love to hear what you guys thought about this changing of the character. You know, the hardcore fans, the IWC that we've been dubbed has been clamoring for a heel turn for 35 years. We finally got it on Monday. Is it Monday or Monday? Is Monday or Monday?
Hey, it's Monday.
Monday.
Tuesday. Lunes. Wednesday.
No D's, huh? No D's up in here.
Friday. Right. Saturday and Sunday.
Monday, we had a Raw. What y'all think? Go ahead.
So, I'm was that listen. A thumbs up for you then? Or thumbs down?
I want to hear your opinion first. I want to hear what y'all got to say. I'm going to lay back.
I think that's
I'll speak on this. The only way I was able to come back to like... feeling complete. Because remember, I told you everything with me is how do I balance this equation in my head? Could what we got and how we got there. So on the other side of that, I was going down just a list of things like, well, maybe he didn't want to outshine Cody. Well, maybe there's more to the story that they're just trying to give us a taste of something. And when The Rock inserts himself again and blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm trying to find and pull and pull. And like, remember, I'm just going to be on a ride for this because that's, to me, I feel it's still attached to the bloodline because Rock is involved here. Again, so I'm like, let me just try and pull and pull and balance this equation. But we have been begging for decades for this guy to do a heel turn. And that's what he gave us? I love John Cena, and I'm still not going to turn my back on it. I did not like the promo, but we have been waiting so long for this. And this was the best that he was able to give us, or whoever wrote it. Like, it almost felt like what he was explaining was happening actually wasn't this reality of the things that was happening. Like, to me, I'm like, am I in the Twilight Zone? Because we're starting to watch Twilight Zone again. And I'm like, am I in the Twilight Zone? Am I in a reality where the John Cena I know ain't the John Cena that's happening right now on my television? And I just could not, like, wrap my mind around the things he was saying, how to me it did not make any sense whatsoever. And that this is what I got. I didn't even look at the runtime of how long he talked. I'm like, this is what we got after waiting 2 decades? But it's heel turn. And then, of course, my favorite thing, and I always talk about the other company, when they use the B word or a cuss word, that's like their punchline to get that, oh. John Cena used a bad word. And again, to me, it just felt like that was a wasted bad word. That was a wasted heel turn. That was a wasted of my time of watching Raw in Brussels.
What bad word did John Cena use?
I think he said sons of bitches.
Sure that wasn't Cody?
No, I think that was John Cena. Okay. I mean, in my mind, I was just like, this cannot be what we got. Everything in the last 2 years, as far as the main event picture, has been worthy of this main event picture, of that these are the people with the highest caliber. I just felt like this is what John Cena gave us. And that's when I went back to say, and at the end of the day, I had to balance this equation. It had to be a reason why this was just so flat to me, because John Cena has never been this way. My heart rate is high right now, so I'll let you go.
All right. So you said a couple of things there. You said a lot of things. Some of it I don't agree with. So I'm only talking about the promo. I'm not talking about anything outside of that. And the funny thing is, you brought up Twilight Zone. And a couple nights ago, we were laying in bed. I was trying to find something to watch. And I was like, I never watched Twilight Zone back in the day. I was too busy watching wrestling and sports and cartoons and playing video games.
Hey, Matt, real quick.
Yeah.
I love the Twilight Zone. One of my all-time favorite shows. Can we mark this clip? Please talk about the Twilight Zone. Fans, let's just take a break from Raw. Let's just talk about the Twilight Zone. Just, Matt, please continue.
So are you talking about like 70s, 60s Twilight Zone? Or are you talking about the original
series,
man?
The original series. And then Jordan Poole did a remake, which I thought was phenomenal. They've redone the Twilight Zone numerous times over the past like 100 years. I think Jordan Poole was probably the best remake of all
time.
And
that was on like CBS, Paramount Plus?
Or Paramount.
Or like CBS, something like that.
Shit, man! It was it was whatever.
All
it's
access,
different
CBS
now. I think
All
it
Access
was
or whatever it was. Yeah.
Whatever Peacock before
Peacock.
Pussy pop. What are we doing here?
Peacock. Oh, Eric, flip it up, flip it up, Eric.
Wait a minute, Dave. The freaks come out at night. Goddamn it! Relax. 16. The kids in the bed,
beats, man. God bless to that. I didn't watch any of them. Even that one, I didn't watch. I didn't have CBS All Access, so I didn't have that app. But so we're laying in bed. I'm like, man, I'm trying to like watch something. I'm much more into like science fiction and that kind of stuff than I was years ago. So I'm Googling, and like you can't find a lot of these episodes anywhere. So I'm like, all right, I know YouTube's got to have some. So we pop one.
Wait. Are you talking about the original series? Or are you talking about Jordan Peele?
At this point, I was just trying to get Remember, so you got the original
90s.
Then you got one with
or
like
the 80s.
Yeah, like 90s with
late 80s,
Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Which one were you guys watching?
So the one we watched was the one with Forrest Whitaker.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to go back and just watch them because they were good. But this episode particularly was about this guy who got electrocuted. He was up on the pole. He got electrocuted. It didn't kill him. But now like he's starting to hear people's thoughts. So, and, of course, he uses that and et cetera, et cetera. So that was just a couple nights ago. So to preface this conversation about the John Cena promo, I stayed in the black all day on Monday. I didn't watch live, of course, during the day. So I watched at night. So I made sure I stayed off the internet. And I was getting texts. I probably got like legit, I got 4 text messages saying, hey, are you watching live? Did you watch? And I'm not watching. I'll watch tonight. And it was a lot of, let me know what you think. And or, there's some hot stuff happening right now. Cool. I had one person, shout out to my guy Rich. He sent me a text and he said, I must be in the minority. I'm not as high on the Cena promo as others. That's okay. Like, all right, I'll watch and see. That's hard to believe. This is John Cena. Like, this is what we've been waiting on, as Rudy just said. He's got to bring it. So I put a tweet out. And I put the tweet out after I watched the promo. I'm still not online. I still didn't look the timeline. I don't want to be spoiled about anything we see. And I just asked, was everybody telling the truth about the John Cena, Cody Rhodes promo? And I got a lot of yes And then, hey, it was fire. It was great. Mm. It's the best John Cena promo he's ever cut. And I was like, damn, okay. Like, I don't see it at all, but okay. And then I continued to go online after the show. And then I saw people, in fact, did not keep it real about the John Cena Cody Rhodes promo. That promo, this is what I think people are missing. And maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I really didn't watch The Twilight Zone. And maybe I am in The Twilight Zone right now. Because I have never been so far off of what it looks like the majority feels like on anything with wrestling before now. So I probably need to mark this date. March, what is it? March 18th, 2025. Because that promo, and I asked, so the promo is over, right? They go 25 minutes, 30 minutes, I think it was. And Cody Rhodes saved the promo. Let's put that out there for me. He saved the promo. So they go to commercial. Of course, as I always do, I check temperature in the room. Hey, y'all, what y'all think? Gotta love Matt, man. That's my
love
little
him
dude.
So much.
Gotta love Matt. Matt said, I liked it.
I wish I was watching on video. Because this is the face Matt's making. That's exactly how little Matt was.
So I'm at the dinner table. And Rhodesia, because he's done eating. Rhodesia's to my right. And Rhodesia's like, I think she said, I didn't like it. I said, I hated it. I absolutely hated that promo. Because what are we talking about? And I understand they are having another face-to-face next week.
Oh, hell okay? No.
This is not doom and gloom, but I'm going to call it out as it was. That was a waste of time. I don't give a damn what anybody says. I saw some wrestlers online talking about how great of a promo it was. It was not. What was great about the promo was seeing John Cena hailed on the crowd. But the actual meat of the promo was so illogical. If the crowd booed John Cena when he came back 2 years ago, when he fought Austin Theory at WrestleMania 39 in Los Angeles, cool, I get it. John Cena got booed when he came back this go-around at the Royal Rumble. Cool, I get it. John Cena would have got booed at Elimination Chamber when he won. Cool, I get it. None of those things happen. That's a promo you cut 15 years ago when he turns heel.
Mm-hmm.
Not now. And the little kid, poor guy. Then he points out people in the crowd that got the shirt on. He shoot right to the little boy. Little boy, and he got his villain story locked in. He's going to be the biggest heel in somebody's territory in about 12 years. Little fat boy, God bless him.
Ooh.
He didn't know what to do. He just sat there with the boo-boo face in Brussels. That promo didn't work. And I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, okay, I need you to get to why did you turn on Cody, or why did you turn heel? He never really gave that answer why he turned heel. He just went on about, you guys took from me. You took and took and took and took, and it was never enough. Once again, why and where did that come from when everything was Skittles and rainbows over the last few months? No mention of The Rock. No mention of Cody. Once again, next week they have another face-to-face. That's probably where they get to that point. But for us to be waiting for the John Cena heel promo, that shit sucked. I did enjoy him having the same music. I did like him having the same look. I think that's twofold, too. I think if they wanted to keep this completely under wraps, if you tell the marketing department and the merchandising department all of a sudden, either, hey, we're switching John Cena merch or John Cena has no merch, it may tip off that he's turning heel. I do think that's part of it, too. These shirts probably have been planned for a long time. But the body of the promo, trash. Did not like it at all.
Only thing I liked was when, because you just brought it back up to me, when he talked about his music. He said, that's my voice. That's me rapping on that. Y'all gonna hear that because that's mine. Like, that's like the only thing of the whole promo that I was like, okay, one that was like a good heelish. And I think the issue, maybe why some people was going fire emoji that was amazing, is that we're in the age of we like the bad guys. And just like I want Cody to turn heel and then I'll probably be a full-fledged fan at that point of his. It still has to be done right. So just because Cena is now heel, and I would completely be happy that Cena is heel, it just has to make sense. And when you, to me, I feel like it was just done in vain. Like, we wasted a perfectly good heel turn because you're not going to get another first impression on this. Again, he's a consummate professional. In my mind, I think he just didn't want to outshine Cody. But after their interaction, there was nothing. There was nothing much more to it.
I don't think that. I think what we are looking for probably happens next week. But you still have this first impression of you going out there and being a heel. And then I saw some. So then I started digging a little bit more. And I haven't listened to anything today. I am only going off of things that I saw last night on social media. I saw a lot of he's putting it right back on the fans. He was giving them the medicine. And then I even saw people clipping up segments from years ago, like when he announced he was having surgery and the crowd cheered. That's all fine and dandy. What people don't understand that enjoy that promo. And hey, if you like it, I love it. Of course, I'm not here to tell you don't like it for sure. But the timeline doesn't make sense. You take that same promo, you put it in 6 years ago, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 15 years ago, promo makes perfect sense. Anything before these last 3 years and that promo makes sense. Anything after, it doesn't make sense.
It's like John Cena wrote that 5 years ago.
Yeah, he kept it in a tuck. Yeah, this shit he's like, I'm going to kill him with this one. Whenever this happened, I'm killing him with this one. So I was disappointed for sure. Like I said, Cody comes out, killed it. I loved it. And that's how I know he's going to be much better next week. And when I say he, I'm talking about the content. He was great in regards to being, he said he wasn't a heel, right? I'm not a heel. I'm not a baby face. I'm just a human being. All that was good. It was just the content that was bad. But when Cody hit him with that line of, dude, I need John Cena at WrestleMania because I'm beating this crybaby up. This ain't nothing to me. I was like, there you go, Cody. That was what you needed. And then he dropped the mic. I even saw people online when Cena dropped the mic, clipped that video up and then said chills. What? Chills because he dropped the mic after talking for 20 minutes? All right, man. Oh. All right, got it. E, please tell me you liked it. Just so we got a different type of feeling on the podcast and we don't go 0 for 3. Tell me this is one of the better promos you saw. This is what you've been waiting on for years and years and years. And you actually went on WWEshop.com and bought the latest John Cena shirt because of how he treated the fans.
First things first, I want to shout out Little Matt, who ain't little. He's actually like 7 feet tall. Really big kid. Great kid, actually. I think I might have told this story on the pod, but I've told Matt and Rhodesia, they know this story. Like, watching Matt and his son's relationship is actually what motivated and said, you know what, maybe I can't be a dad. Like, really, like, see, there's genuine love for each other. And, you know, and then my growing friendship with Matt at the time, and then, you know, getting to be close with the son and really enjoying being around his son too. And I'm like, damn, you know, I want to have a little me too. Like, I think I can be a dad. So seeing their love really motivated me to have a family. Cause up until this point, you know, I remember when, Katrina and I were going through premarital class. We had to go through a list of like non-negotiables.
Oh, shoot.
Right?
It's about the pastor. Like, hey,
this is before the pastor. Thank God, right? This man actually wrote the criteria, you know what I'm saying, for the premarital class. So go figure, right? But he had us do some homework. We had to go through a list of like, it was kind of like a list of like must-haves, right? And things, you know, that you can work around, right? Because it was like, hey, you know, you get married, people aren't honest, right? So then you don't have the proper expectations, and then you have issues, right? So Katrina wanted to have a family. She wanted to have kids. I didn't. I did not want to be a dad. I did not want to have kids. I'm like, at the time, I'm like, man, I'm too selfish of a person to devote my time to having a child. Like, right? I'm like, I like kids, but I'm cool being around for a little while. But after that, I need to get my space. I need to be able to do my thing. So being around Matt and little Matt really inspired me and said, you know what? I want to have a mini-me and, you know, here we are.
You know what? Real quick, E, I was so proud of you because you knew you were selfish. I remember having a conversation in your basement and you were talking about, I think you may have been talking about you guys are about to do this. And I remember I was just like, man, like one of the biggest things was it's not no longer about you, right? Like you are on somebody else's time all the time. Yeah. And I'm like, you can't be selfish. And you were like, but I am selfish. And I remember I was like, well, then you know what you got to do. Like, you got to figure out what you do. I mean, you've done a tremendous job since, but mm-hmm. a lot of people don't recognize it. And if they do recognize it, they don't do anything with it. And then when they do have the kid or whatever that changed, right? If it's now you're in a relationship and that person, you know, decides to live with you and you know you've got your things. I got to have X, Y, and Z this way. But that's not going to work when somebody else is always around you. You know what I'm saying? But shout out to you because you were able to identify that and then still have the kids. But I would say, though, like, you still are a little selfish. You're not as selfish as you probably were.
You got to maintain a little of your identity, right? But you know what I'm saying? But for the most part, you know, you're right. You got to, like, you know, like, it's one of the things you have kids too. Like, and most parents should have this internal thing to where the light switches to where you know, it ain't about you. Like, yep. Right, it's about raising, you know, these boys to men and give them the best life that, you know, they did. And, like, and that actually makes me reflect, and I appreciate some of the things that my dad did for me. Like, right, because I just remember, I told Katrina, like, my dad used to take me to the comic book store. Like, right, and I think he used to pay for it, too. No, actually, it was for my allowance. He used to give me an allowance. It's like $25 or something like that.
Nice. And
so every month, I would save my $25. I go to the comic book store. I'm spending, like, $100 at the comic book store. This is back in, like, the 90s, where $100, you can get a lot for $100, right?
Mm-hmm.
My dad would take me to the comic book store. I would be in the comic book store for, like, 2 hours. And he'd be sitting out in the parking lot, you know, just waiting, chilling. Like, just stuff like that. Like, this is his way of bonding, right? So I take those things and some of the things, you know, experiencing with Matt and his son, you know, and that's, I was talking to somebody else, like, you never know if you're doing it right, too. Like, right? Like, you never know if you're doing it right. Like, right? So I appreciate you guys.
You know you're doing it right later on.
Yeah,
you never know in the moment.
Yeah,
because you don't know. Like, you know either what felt right to you or wrong when you were a kid, so yep. You do the opposite or you do the same. But, like, right now, we are now getting the fruits of our labor with Matt. Like, when we see him out and we hear people speak so highly of him, it's like, and that's why I was the way I was with him at the age of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. But in that moment, you're like, well, I think this is right. This is what feels right, so I'm going to do it. But we all just learn it because everybody's different. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody is different. The same way you would parent, you know, your two boys you got now. If you had a little girl, you can't do the same thing. Hell, if you had another boy, you probably can't do the same thing. Everybody is just different.
And times are different too, right? And then trying to navigate, because that's the only thing. You can try to, like, blueprint, you know, which you guys, because, you know, your son has, what, he has 7, 8 years? No. Because Ethan's 17. 11,
yeah, he'll be 17. 18 in August.
So 6 years, you know, things have changed a lot in 6 years, right? So I could try to follow a blueprint, but the roadmap is so different now, especially with things are being taught in school. Try to emulate what my dad did. You know, things are just so differently. But, you know, like, you guys met Matt once on the pile. We probably need to get him back on there at one point again. I'm not sure what kind of show we're going to do to bring back, you know, like, our extended family onto the show, man. But you know,
200.
He's a wonderful kid.
200. Yeah, we brought him on one. We there brought we him on 100. Bring him on 200.
There we go. 200. Bring back this man that we talk about. But this, I love to see his insight because, you know, and going back to it, I knew that dynamic would be present, which is why I'm like, you know what? I'm watching this in real time. I'm like, man, I bet Rhodesia and Matt are shitting all over. I'm like, I bet they are shitting. I bet the pants is down, spread on the toilet right now. Diarrhea. I knew it was happening because, like, number one, you know what I'm saying, diehard fans, right? Like, so much of a fan that Rhodesia trying to pick an argument with me about Hulk Hogan versus John Cena's moveset. I'm like, I can't argue diarrhea with poop.
The but they're the same. They are the same thing. That's what I was arguing. Like, they were the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like, you can't argue this. This is a bad argument. Can nobody can win on this one. So I'm like, I knew this is going to be, was going to be difficult for you guys. And we want to talk about the actual, you know, and I love that you talk about perspective, right? Like, acknowledging things that, you know, the thing about the hardcore IWC that we're present, it's almost like Canada, you know what I'm saying? But it's like WWE going to Canada back in the day, the shit flips, like, right. Like, some of the things that we like, the casual fans don't like, right. And you can't even say sometimes the casual fans, right? I just think that us as fans, we watch so much wrestling, we consume it so much that, like, we look at it on a deeper, higher level, or we think we do, right? We look at it, and sometimes we look too into it, which is why for me, I try to step back and watch things a little more casually so I can sit back and enjoy and turn my brain off and just enjoy it if it's good or not. Like, right. So when we talk about the John Cena promo, very valid arguments and points that you guys all make about the story. But the great thing about fiction, like, right. And that's what this is. This is reality based, but it's still a story. And with story and creativity, you can manipulate the truth, especially with time. Like, time changes a lot of things because you gotta hope that people remember all the events that led up to a certain point, especially when you got like a 15-year history. Now, if they wanted to, they really could probably edit and create a story that got us to this point that would totally make sense and make the promo make sense. So for me, when I'm listening to him talk, like, I'm just listening to him talk and his character change. Not necessarily is the time matching up what it is, because you could make an argument if you really wanted to do that, because we as wrestling fans, we always fill in the blanks when there's story gaps, right? Because this wrestling is wrestling. It is what it is. It's always been story gaps in a lot of these stories. You can say that maybe when John's talking about is when he was a top guy on top, when he was busting his ass for the kids, you know, running the towns, doing the Make-A-Wish, and then everybody was boo-booing on him, right? Kind of like what Cody's doing right now. Like, he's like, he can't win for losing. He's doing everything right. He's trying to be the good Samaritan. He's trying to be the savior for the children. He's about trying to be the perfect role model. But yet, every night, people are booing him out of the building. That's legit. Like, right, his top run until he went to semi-retirement, he was a very bipolar figure in wrestling. He would get booed as heavily as he would get cheered everywhere he went. Like, right? So, yes, he went into some type of retirement and went on a losing streak. And then all of a sudden, everybody would start cheering him, right? And they're cheering him in the serum retirement, and he's losing every single match he wins. He goes on a two-year, like, losing streak, right? So there's a story to be told that kind of could put him in a situation where he is right now, if they really want to tell that story. But for me, I'm just listening to him change into a different character and kind of explain it. It was loose, but I felt like it was a fine promo. I'm not going to say it was a great promo. It was fine. It was fine for what
you did. You just did a better job than he did yesterday. You just did a better job.
Right.
Explaining
put yourself,
his
put yourself when he was making the wishes.
Because you
that.
Connected when I was winning, because he talked about it, and I won. And I kept winning. And that didn't go anywhere. He just said, like, you hated me for it. What you just said would have been fantastic. When I was on top, you guys booed me every single night. I come back. I don't win a fucking match for a year and a half. And what happens? Now, all of a sudden, I'm the most cheered person who comes out here. Okay, now I get it. Unless he flubbed his line and they cut that off of the Raw that was on Netflix, I appreciate you for telling me that. And maybe now I look at that promo a little bit differently. Do that work. Because how often have we in the last 2 years talked about how great they pay attention to detail? Oh, man, did you look backstage when whoever was cutting the promo and you saw blah, blah, blah? Or, oh, man, they got a plan for this and that happened 2 years ago and they brought it back? I just didn't feel any of that in that promo. So I appreciate you saying, hey, I'm kind of just sitting back and just listening and watching his character change. I think it was because we've been waiting so long for this. If everybody would have shit on the promo, I would have been done talking 18 minutes ago about this. I'd be like, yeah, I agree with everybody else. Shit promo. Let's see what they do next week. And I probably would have moved on. But when I just saw everybody or the majority talking about how great it was, I'm like, either I'm tripping completely. And please, y'all know already, Freak.
But you know, it was leave it in the comments. It was a great foundation for his character change. You also got to think about it too. Like, we got a lot of context on a show we normally don't get context in, right? Like, this is typically the shows when they're, like, you know, overseas. And that might be changing, you know, because they're doing so much business overseas now. And, like, those crowds are amazing, by the way. Mm-hmm. Like, right. But those shows are typically throwaway shows. Not only did you have John Cena come down there for his very first heel promo, it was eventful in a lot of different ways, because he's starting to set the table on the character. Now, you know, when he started adding, you know, so they put the meat on the table. Like, right. The women love
all
meat.
Right, man.
They,
all right.
They put the
all
meat
right.
on the
look,
table.
Look. All right. Let's all right. Move right. On.
But now next week. The meat is out.
All right, man.
The meat is out. And so now you're going to start putting some salad on there, you know, a couple of vegetables, some potatoes, You know what I'm saying? They're going to start pouring you some wine. He's going to start setting the table to this complete heel turn. I think this is the emphasis of it, right? Because in some ways, you really think about it, like, right, he can't just be a different person overnight. Like, right, just in one night, he can't just be a different dude. So in some ways, you said it's twofold about the he didn't change his clothes, he didn't change his music. I kind of wish he should. I hope to see that because he sounds like he's steadfast against it. I would like to see some subtle changes leading up until like the main event. Maybe not the music. I like we said about the music.
I do like that too.
His look,
or maybe, but maybe we get that because for Cody to say, "Oh, this ain't the guy," mm-hmm. I run through this guy at WrestleMania. Like figure shit out and become who John Cena needs to be. So that could be where we see the change. And through this, to your point about not him just not being able to flip that switch, I'm fine with that. It was just the content in the promo. The timeline just didn't make sense to it at all. Everything else,
but can I ask, how outside of us, right, mm-hmm. like the super hardcore fans, who really remembers the actual timeline and they can put it together just like that on the fly?
Well, if so, tell me if I took something differently than what you did from this, and Radice, of course, chime in. To me, the crux of that promo was you guys took from me and you never gave anything back. You never asked how I was. You never asked me how I was feeling. You booed me. You didn't care. You just leached off of me. Even the fans, you guys just want to be me. What happened for that to happen, though? Nothing happened. You lost the Royal Rumble to Jey Uso. You put Jey over in the middle of the ring. I'm only going off of what they showed on TV. You go on a press conference right after that and say, I'm going to put myself in the Elimination Chamber because that is best for business. Me being the 17-time world champion, that is what this needs to be. And he walks off. We don't hear from him again until Elimination Chamber where he wins. That promo doesn't make sense in the timeline of what we are watching as John Cena fans or as John Cena haters.
You know what, though? If you think about it, if you really think about it, that was some heel shit. That was a flex.
Of course.
That was a super flex.
And that was what I was hoping to hear.
And very out of character for him to do that in that press conference, his overall tone and demeanor, like, right, and the flex that he pulled that night. It was very heelish. And I think in a little way, because this is why I was like, so, like, again, I would say, go back to me watching anime. Like, it's a slow burn. Like, things don't happen just in one episode. Sometimes the payoff doesn't happen until, like, the sixth or seventh or eighth episode in the character or arc. Like, right? So, like, this was the one to condition everybody to, like, yo, this dude is different now. He's changed, right? Look, I don't dress up like y'all. Y'all dress up like me. Like, we are broken up, right? And now that we've broken up, I can give you more information at my leisure. I don't got to tell you shit about what's in my mind or what I need to do. This is what it is. So, right, as an arrogant person, over time, I'm going to give you more tidbits into my personality. But at the end of the day, look, this is how I'm feeling. I don't owe you an excuse or a reason or why I did anything. Like, right, he's just coming out there setting the tone for the new character. And then we'll see what pops off on Monday. Now, I will say that if we're three, you know, because he has limited dates. That's why I was looking at his dates up in Germania. He ain't got a lot of them. Now, like, we're like in the middle of this and it's still kind of loosey-goosey, might be a problem. But I'm down again to be taken on a ride to see where the saying goes.
I'm just saying, you say all that. I like slow burns myself. It is just my feeling on how much underwhelmed I was by that, because this was the very first formal him addressing the crowd, the fans, now not being a good guy. So again, like he said, I'm not a good guy, I'm a bad guy, I'm just him, or whatever he said. So let's be very clear there. He's not saying that he's a bad guy. So that could be probably part of maybe why I was taking it a little bit too serious, but he's just said that. You're right. Still, as a fan of him, watching him when he first debuted on WWE TV till now, this is not what I expected. It was completely underwhelming. And I think that was exactly what I said to Matt. Like, this is just was underwhelming. If I get off my little tangent of it made no sense and he just wanted to wait till he said a cuss word and all that stuff, fine. We take all that out. Just to me, as that first coming out that I'm not the good guy you once thought, it just should have got me in the feels a little bit more. And it didn't. It just didn't. Now, I had high expectations for it. But again, I thought that he would have been able to pull that off because he has been so good. I have seen him on the mic against other people. And that's why I just couldn't understand, like, if that's what we got? Then you could have kept all that. You probably could have did just a video package and sent it in.
Let's keep it a buck though. Let's keep it a band, y'all. This isn't MJ in 96. This is fucking MJ in 2001.
Oh, no, you're not comparing John Cena's promo skills right now to Michael Jordan, to the Washington Wizards.
Thinking this man about to drop 50 points every damn night, man. Them days is over. And y'all thought the promo was a little bit flat, number one. Like, look, this ain't his era no more, y'all. Like, this man has been semi-retired when he's missing a whole head of hair, and he got just some bangs. This man got some bangs.
He is still an actor. As I quote the great comedian Jamie Foxx, he are acting. We are actors. You telling me that was still the best you can give me?
Hey, no, MGM went on this one, baby.
He was great. That's funny. No, his performance was fine. It was not his performance. It was the dialogue. So I do think next week, I'm going off of, once again, I only go off of what they show me and tell me. Cody completely obliterated him and said, just get this guy out of here. Yeah. I need the real John Cena. I think we see the quote-unquote real John Cena next week. Okay. I think we get what we want in regards to their back-and-forth promo battle. The other thing I hated, was the no physicality. So let me get this right. And I said this last night to Lil Matt. So let me get this right. John Cena turns heel with Travis Scott and The Rock, kicking the nuts to Cody Rhodes, leaves him bloody, hits him with a championship belt. Travis Scott smacked the hell out of him, gives him a black eye, walks off. Cody comes out and cuts a promo that Friday on SmackDown, basically saying, this is my guy. He turned his back on me. I don't know why. Comes back and cuts another promo on Monday, basically saying, time for talk is over. You want some, come get some. He just walks down to the ring, and now we're going to talk after this guy left you laying bloody. In no world that makes sense. That was the other part of this that I absolutely hated.
I'm okay with that. Everything you said makes 100% sense. But if they would have had physicality, and that was the first time the two of them had physicality after that trash ass promo, I'd be even double mad. So I'm glad they didn't touch. Let's wait till next week when you allegedly the infamous battle between the two of them we're gonna see.
That was the only thing. If I was to nitpick something, that was the only thing I said I nitpicked that night was just that moment. I know it's my man's Nick. What's the dude's name? GM?
Oh, Nick Aldis? Adam Pearce?
That's SmackDown. Who's Adam Pearce? You can have Adam Pearce say, hey, you know, no physicality or something right. like that, right? Something. But, like, that will kind of ruin the impromptu moment of Cody coming out to interrupt, right? So you can't necessarily announce that during the moment. And then him coming out in the middle after the introduction and after the crowdy, you know, singing of the song and everything, that'll kind of ruin that. Then maybe that's something they can do or talk about later on in the show. They can just mention, like, oh, by the way, I told Cody right before he went out there that if he touched John Cena, it was going to be blah, 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 right? They can plant that seed later on. But whatever, right? As Rhodesia said, I totally agree. You don't want them touching just yet. We got a lot of time to tell. I think you kind of hold off on them touching as long as possible. But that was my only nitpick for the entire thing. I felt like the promo was fine. I didn't think it was the greatest promo that I've heard. I think it was fine for what it needed to accomplish. For the time that it was, I think it sets the table for the characters so you can get used to booing this man. Like, right? And that's one of the things, and we got to talk about, like, if things work or not, right? Like, mm-hmm. It obviously worked. So, like, when he came out there, before he even spoke, as soon as his music touched down, like, they were booing this man.
Ooh, right? Boy, that music hit. Yes, sir.
The boo birds the entire time. And typically, you would think that, okay, we've been conditioned to cheer him for the past, you know, 2 years. He's been a super jobber. Right. So now when I hear his music, probably for the first time in a long time, right? Because they don't always go to this venue. Like, you would think that the crowd would be ready, excited to
with
see cheer, him.
Right, right, because they don't go to Belgium like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But nah, son. That shows you the power of Cody. Like, yo, y'all did my boy dirty and your ball spots ugly. Mm. Like, we booing y'all. We booing you on site. And they stay booing him for the entire promo. I think it was a really good promo. And I think they explained enough to kind of get your mouth wet. And then next week, they're going to give you the full course.
We jumping off of this topic anyways, because the more we talk about it, the more and more E likes his promo. So no, we're not going to condone the liking of the promo.
But I'm glad. I'm glad he felt that way. So at least all three of us, and it's cool if all three of us would have been the same way regardless, but I like to hear different perspectives. I would love to hear perspectives of our listeners and our viewers on YouTube. Please put in the comments. Let us all know what you thought of it. If you liked it, please let us know why you liked it. If you didn't like it, please let us know why you didn't like it. I would love to just hear from, and our listeners are very smart. We don't have any listeners that are stupid, or any listeners anyway, that we know are listeners. Shout out to everybody who always comments, and shout out to the people who have never commented. We can still see that you're watching and listening, so we appreciate you guys. We love you for that. But you guys are really level-headed. So I really want to hear your thoughts on that promo and why you liked it or you didn't like it. It was a big, massive miss for me. Swing and a miss. Nothing that they can't come back from. But what I will say is, no matter what happens next week and leading up to WrestleMania, this will always go down to me as a massive missed opportunity. It's not going to change business. To E's point, when his music hit, Boo Birds came out. So everybody's bought in already. It's not about that. For me, it was just about, we've been waiting 10 plus years. He's turning heel. How is this going to be presented? And then to get what we got, it's like, ugh.
Real quick, hypocritical moment right now for me. I'm like, E, the longer we talk about this, the more and more I get off the edge. I did like, though, when he talked about how y'all made him the brunt of the joke about the not seeing me. I thought that was actually pretty good, too.
He fucking leans into it. I hated that, too. All you gotta do is pull up his Instagram. He does this shit all the time. Like, even that, I was just like, what are we talking about?
But those people aren't watching him on Instagram.
I was about to say, yeah, this is...
So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
This is when you know too much.
Okay, then maybe so, but I mean, come on, man.
Trash, try again. Let's go.
This is, look, I'm a fan of the man. I know too much of the history and the backstory. So it's hard to really... I knew this was going to come up. That's why I'm like, man, they're going to hate this. And actually, John Cena won. Because he turned Germany, and then he turned Matt in Rhodesia.
I just think it was bad.
Hell yeah.
It was a bad performance. So, like, honestly, when you were watching, why did you know we wouldn't have liked the promo? What did he do, or what did he say where you knew, outside of knowing it was trash? Like, seriously, I would love to know that. Like, what happened where you were like, oh, they gonna shit on this?
Oh, so here's the thing about when I watch the show and I listen to y'all. We talk about it. Like, the Twilight, you said it. The Twilight Zone. Y'all the Twilight Zone. I don't like Jay. He yeet too much.
Oh,
but he
God.
Yeeting like crazy, right? Cody, Cody is gone. They're going to turn against him in 2 months after he wins the championship. We hear it's 5 years later. Like, it's just, look, that's just what it is. Whatever the popular, like, casual thing. And this, I thought it was an interesting conversation someone said online. I think they said about Jay. And it was like, you know, the IWC, you know, hates Jay. Casual fans love Jay. And we've had a conversation before, like, you know, like the what is it? What do we say? Like, the when someone goes like a pop, mm-hmm. like they start losing some of the hardcore fans.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That kind
when
of thing.
When they, same thing with music, right? When you got that artist who's underground, he just bubbling.
And then
everybody loves him. But as soon as they blow off, it's like the haters come.
Yeah, you mentioned that. So I just knew, like, man, like this ain't going to be it. On top of it. And also, I knew that was y'all guy. I felt like, in little ways, that's like the child inside of y'all, like the little bit of a tear came off y'all. Like,
oh, no, we were, well, I can't speak for Rhodesia. I was ecstatic he turned heel. I wanted him to lean into it. To me, that wasn't leaning into it on Monday, but whatever. You brought up Jey Uso. They not doing my guy any favors with this build, though. I can say that. feuding with Grayson Waller and Austin Theory a month before you're in one of the main events of WrestleMania.
The biggest moment not of his
doing
life.
Him any favors at all. This to me is an example of what I talked about three episodes ago when people were like, where's the build for WrestleMania? And like, we got fucking 9 weeks. Like, slow down, pump the brakes. He run the Royal Rumble. You could say maybe 2 weeks after the Rumble is where like it peaked in terms of on TV, the popularity, the groundswell of hype for Jay. We talked about it on the last episode. I said by what they're presenting, out of the three matches that could be the main event of night one, this looks like it's the odd one out. Mm. He brought up, hey, he's popular. Of course, that part. I'm only going off of what they're showing us. And I said, if Gunther every damn week chokes him out, chokes him out, chokes him out. This week he didn't choke him out. He tried to choke him out.
But he stepped over his intro, which I thought was hard, though. I didn't think that was hard. I thought that
it did.
Got him back there. That was good.
But yeah, I mean,
he tried to step on it.
They got a month. But yeah, this build is not. Do not build up your number one contender when you are feuding with a tag team that, if it wasn't for this feud, may not even be on television. Not good.
I don't mind him feuding necessarily with them just because they are jobbers. So in my simple brain, wrestling fandom brain,
local legends, I'm okay.
Local, what'd I say? Oh, I did say jobbers. Sure, oh, I'm so sorry. I said I would never say that again. The local legends. I'm okay with that. Enhancement talent for him. They are the enhancement talent.
He beat
for
that
Jay
man
right now.
In a minute, which is the way it should have been.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm okay with that because that I'm 100% okay with. Like I said, I just with Jay, and I do not dislike Jay. I will go back to this with him and LA Knight, and LA Knight is over too in Europe. It's just how I was initially invested with them. WWE made me this way. They made me say, okay, let me hold some of my feelings back on these two guys because of what you're doing to them and how you're presenting them to me and my fandom.
Is the problem with the Jay Gunther buildup, I think it's more of a Gunther problem than a Jay problem.
Could be.
I think if he was a stronger champion, I think that we'd be in a different situation because Gunther hasn't been a hot champion since he captured the title. In a lot of ways, like they did him a disservice because we talked about it, you know, when he was going through that character thing he was doing, when he was unsure of himself and, you know, he was scared of Damian. It was just they made him look really weak during that segment with no payoff to it.
Yeah, the payoff was just, oh, I figured out I'm still the shit.
That was
the payoff.
Mind games with him, yeah.
Well, I guess the payoff was to make it seem like Damian had a chance against him.
Right.
But if you want to look at it, you caused Gunther to not be presented as strongly as he was as an IEC champion, and I don't know if Damian Priest is any more popular because of that than he would have been if you'd have just had him go up against the monster and he loses.
I mean, like, I said it before, like, we talk about how great Paul is with creative. Like, that, we talked about that was a big miss with that particular program, and particularly what they did with that championship pretty much all year. I feel like the champions have been kind of booked very strangely, honestly, just really weak. Because, like, I have no idea why you have your top dominant heel character booked to show weakness and fear to another man. Like, right, like it's one thing or another. Let's say if Gunther, I'm gonna picture my top of my head, this is Carmelo Anthony. Like, right, Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Hayes, right?
I was like, what Melo did now.
He got a good podcast too, by the way. But it's like the Hayes is like probably like 5'10, like right, as opposed to Damien's probably like 6. So there's some 6'7. He's probably like there's a height difference, right? He's bigger. He's stronger. You can show a little bit of like fear in that scenario, like be a little bit of a chicken shit heel. But like Gunther has been built up since he's been on the main roster and under Paul's creative as a very strong, dominant, confident like wrestler and challenger. Like he's the ring general. Like, right? For him not to be that makes him look significantly weak. Like, right, he just doesn't, it's there's no reason why I'm looking at this man eye to eye. Like, we're the same weight, and I fear you? Like, right, that just shows, like, that's just some weak shit. Like, it doesn't make sense.
But we were also thinking maybe he was about to turn babyface. We were even talking about that, remember? We were like, because Kaiser was getting in this shit a little bit, like, dude, man up. And we were like, oh, are they about to feud? Which kind of wouldn't have made sense either. But, yeah, man, you're right.
Then it just phased out, because I wouldn't even say that it was even, like, I don't remember a promo or a situation afterwards where he just, like, explained what the fuck was going on with him mentally during the time period. It just kind of, he just went back to kind of being the old going through.
He just figured it out.
Really, right before just the feud with Jay.
Yeah.
Like, right, he went back to, I'm confident again. I know who I am. And I think that's part of why he as a champion is so weak. Because right now, we all assume, I would say if you poll the entire universe right now, that they got Jey Uso winning and beating Gunther at Mania. Right? So that's what I've been telling y'all about this story right now. All right, I feel like they know that. Like, right, so they got to do whatever they can to try to put some kind of doubt in your mind that there's a chance that this man's going to lose. Because in all intents and purposes, if you follow what's happening, the timeline, Jay's ascension to top, and you look at what Gunther's been doing over the past year, there's no way this man's losing that Mania. If Jay loses that Mania to Gunther, it's over for this Jey Uso's career. And guess what? And Gunther ain't going to take off. Because it's like, all right, if Jay didn't beat this dude, who gonna beat him next month, right? Because it's time for him to drop that title.
Yeah.
That's part of that's the problem. It's not Jay and all this. This is that Gunther is a weak ass champion that people are begging to see lose. And not in a good way.
Well, but let them tell it the story they're telling on TV. I think Jason even said it on Raw. Like, nobody's giving me a shot.
It's Jimmy. Like, Big Jim, like, is, buddy, though. Big Jim on SmackDown is representing for
Big Jim is hitting his stride.
He is. Yeah,
but see, this is they're trying to have their little mind screw. They're trying to trick you into seeing things in a different light. But the lights is on. They bright. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's daylight saving time of this month. Like, we all know what time it is. But they trying their damnedest to try to convince you that Gunther got a shot at Mania. Now, you know what they should do at Mania? It shouldn't even be a 30-minute match. That should be a 5-minute and out. Like, Jay come out there, do the greatest hits, boom, bam, boom, pin his ass, and let's just get eaten, let's just go home.
I do wonder what is his first feud after Mania, him being Jay.
You can't just bring it back?
I don't want to see that again. Because it shouldn't be a need. I mean, I guess, maybe. You could run it again in Backlash. It's called Backlash, right?
It's called Backlash.
Yeah, they're going to be in St. Louis. Yeah, so you could do that, but I'm talking about actual feud. Like, hopefully they have one set up for him after, and maybe that's the one he loses. I don't know. Maybe you go they're just spitballing. Maybe you go Penta and Bron Breakker at Mania, put the belt on Penta, and you got Bron go after the world championship, even though we've seen him and Jay already. They fought after the IC, but just whatever. I mean, they just gotta be protective of him, that's all, or whatever's next. Speaking of Penta, would y'all think of that Phoenix video package on SmackDown? And I'm also going to think the other video package with the four was for Aleister Black, because I don't know anybody else who would be coming to SmackDown, so I'm only going to assume that was Aleister Black. So what did you guys think about, I guess, maybe the decision to bring Phoenix to SmackDown? The word was they were going to be together as the Lucha Bros. I think WWE has that trademark or copywritten, whichever one is what. And it looks like one's going to be on Raw and one's going to be on SmackDown.
The first part of that question, I didn't see really either one of those promo packages, teasers, so I can't speak on that. I did have a question that I'll ask y'all, and y'all can answer it later. Did you want to see Phoenix and Penta together as their debut, as Phoenix's debut?
I'm neutral on it. I had mentioned a couple pods ago, like before when Tony was holding Phoenix hostage, right? And I'm like, man, look, I don't know why you are thinking you're hurting the WWE, because they already got Penta, and Penta's hot. Like, he's established himself as a singles star, right? A single star of the future for them. Like, right? Like, if anything, like, letting Phoenix go could potentially hurt WWE, Because if they put those two guys together, right, like there's less stock in the tag team division, unfortunately, than there is in the Penta singles round. I think there's more money in Penta as a single star than it is with them as a team, just because of the WWE landscape. But I think about the actual tag team division. Like they got some teams, man. But that tag team division is cold. It's funny, Matt. I was playing 2K25, and in the showcase, you know, it was the Bloodline this year, and they have a New Day and Usos match. I think it's from 2017 or 2018. It was the Hell in a Cell match.
Hell in a Cell in Detroit.
Was it okay? Yeah, that was, that one. Right,
Caesar Arena.
Really great match, right? And you redo that match and you relive it. I kind of feel like the New Day and the Usos during that time period had the WWE tag team division the hottest it's been in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, right? And I don't think we've been close to that. So unless you can heat up the tag team division almost like it was during the Attitude Era when you had the Dudleys, Edge and Christians and the Hardy Boys, like well, that was almost like kind of a main event. It was the teams were so hot and the division was so hot.
Mm-hmm.
Like unless you can get that tag team division hot, I don't see why you will put those two together. It's much more money in a Bron Breakker and Penta match for IC title at Mania than it would be to see them in a throwaway tag team match at Mania.
Or even just even Phoenix being by himself. You know, we talked about it. I'm higher on a singles Phoenix run than I think, especially UE, than you are. I think you think like he'll just be there. I think he's kind of going to be that missing link, especially for the WWE fans that have not seen Phoenix. They're going to be wild. If they're wild by Penta outside of his presentation, just talking about in-ring ability, I think they're going to lose their mind over Phoenix. And then I saw this. Maybe I just need time off the internet. Maybe this is what I'm coming up with on this episode in real time. I need time off the internet. I saw somebody clip up Penta's entrance from Raw. You know, they add something every week to his entrance. I think they added more promo this week. And the caption was, Tony Khan is going to rule the day he let Penta go, or something to that effect. You know, AEW should never let Penta go. And it's like, one, get off that, right? But two, they had Penta for like 5 years. This Penta we see in WWE is not the same Penta that was in AEW. Like, I get he's the same person, but it is I don't want to say completely different presentation, but it is very different than what was in AEW. AEW used him for what they could use him for, and now it's time to move on. But this whole thing of as soon as somebody does great in one company, it's now, oh, they should have never let X talent go, because it's like, chill out on that, especially when they were under contract for so long. Now, Aleister Black, you can probably say that about. But even him, he was there for 3 years, and I think they didn't use him for whatever reason because they didn't want to use him a said way. I don't think it was you should have used him, or I don't think it was a situation where they could have gotten more out of him under the circumstance. Under the circumstance, it is what it is. Swerve. He would never be the Swerve that he is right now in WWE. Now, maybe if and when he goes back, he can pull it off. Same thing with Cody. Cody would have never been this guy if he didn't go to New Japan and didn't go to Ring of Honor, didn't go to AEW. Like, you got to have those outside times to wherever you decide to go. Then you can flourish. But this whole, like, as soon as somebody leaves and they do one good thing, it's like said company shouldn't let that person go. We got to get off that.
Well, actually, they wanted to leave.
Right.
Like Tony wanted to keep them. They wanted to go. Right. It's not like they let them go. Right. They wanted to stay. Like, question for y'all, going back to Aleister Black. Like, what y'all think happened with that?
In AEW?
Yeah. Like, how do you, because like, you think about it, out of everybody, as you said, like, I feel like they used the Lucha Brothers as well as they could for the most part,
mm-hmm,
in the tag team division, right? But Malakai got really high really quick, and it seemed to kind of flatten out, like, out of nowhere, because it seemed like the crowd still was behind them and wanted to see him do his thing, but it felt like they never gave him that push. I don't think he even won a championship outside of the six-man.
That was it. Happened? I don't think he ever won a singles championship.
I think a couple years ago, I think he wanted to leave. And I think I may have joked on it that he was trying to say, he was having some illnesses to leave. Because remember, he was going on the internet saying something along the lines of like...
He responded saying he didn't want to leave. The reports was he wanted to leave. His response was, I don't want to leave. I'm under contract. I like it. I'm happy here. That was what he said.
Mm. That's not how I remember it. But of course, you remember more than I would.
That was the scuttlebutt. The scuttlebutt is that he wanted to leave. But then he came out and refuted and said, no, that's not true. But no, like what you're saying is what the popular speculation was.
Yeah.
And wasn't it like, didn't he say he was sick? That this wasn't the scuttle booty, as you would say it, was his mental health being there? And then I think even people was drawing maybe because he was away from his partner. But again, their schedule isn't what it used to be back in the day. I just thought that from what I felt, Malachi Alistair maybe didn't want to give his all there. If they didn't want to use him the exact way he wanted to be used. And so he kind of pulled back and disengaged. And then at that point, Tony was like, again, this is my feelings. Tony was like, well, F it. I'm always going to keep you here because no one's going to be bigger than AWE.
Damn. Y'all are good for fucking up some words. He said bipolar earlier. I was going to let that shit slide. But then you said right. AWE.
AWE.
What the fuck? I wonder. So, yeah, like just assuming. I think Tony has his playbook. I think he has the storylines mapped out for months and months and months. And no matter how hot somebody gets or how much they're not over, if they are planned for something big, they're going to stay there. Case in point, Action Andretti. When he first came in, he took off. They didn't do anything with him. Top Flight. They first came in, took off. He didn't do anything with him because they weren't planned to. And I think he had Malachi in a certain spot. He came in against Cody, and the typical thing, of course, is you come in hot, and then we're going to just peg you kind of where you are. And I think when you have been used in the correct way on wrestling television, wherever that may be, I think you know what it feels like when you're not being used correctly.
You're not going backwards anymore.
I think when you are used in stories, and you are told, hey, this is where we're going. This is your character's thought process this week. This is what we're trying to attain. I think when you hear all that, because you got it somewhere else. And then when it's, yep, here we go. This is the match. And well, what are we leading to? We'll figure it out. But this is just what you're doing this week. I think that can bother some people who have been other places. Because if you look at a lot of the people that we have heard have had issues outside of Sammy Guevara before years ago, before he had his child, outside of Sammy, I think everybody who has had issues there that we've heard about has come from somewhere else where they've done television before. So that's what I think.
It's crazy you mentioned Sammy Guevara. He was one of the pillars. Like this man. I'm not sure now, right? Because, you know, AEW is still AEW's, whereas people just disappear off the show for no rhyme or reason. So he may be injured. I don't know. But I know even when he was healthy and he was back ready to go, like, they weren't using him. He wasn't even on AEW television. They was using the dude on the paywall ROH.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like, damn, this man is just in a permanent doghouse. So I'm not sure what his contract looks like, but if I'm Sammy, look, I'm trying to get up out of there.
You looking at being on that nationally syndicated UPN show on Tuesday nights.
Boom.
Oh, before we leave this, just because I had some thoughts about Phoenix and Penta. Initially, I wanted them to be Lucha Bros together. I did. I did not think Penta was going to be as important as he is now when he first came over. I think, Matt, you hold Phoenix in a better light right now than me as far as expectation. I want him to be the next Rey Mysterio, and we shouldn't say be the next, but I would want him to kind of feel that as Rey goes on and retires. I would love that for Phoenix. Right now, though, I don't think we're going to get that, and I think Phoenix coming in as a singles person, he's probably not going to live up to my potential that I thought in him. Now, unless maybe down the line they become a tag team and Lucha Bros, let's say that's even a thing in the future. I just think Penta came in so hot that Phoenix is not going to come in on that same level because of how hot Penta came in. Now, you may say, and you have been saying, just even how Penta looked, oh, that's going to be fire in WWE. But to me, I still feel like because he did come in so hot and they have him and they're writing for him to be so hot, I don't think Phoenix is going to get to that level.
You're going to see Phoenix in LWO.
Yep. Don't do that. Hey, they got to win on Monday night, though. I didn't watch the match. I fast-forwarded through it, but they got to win. I did see that. What else y'all want to talk about? It was something for SmackDown I wanted to talk about, but, like, it wasn't – I know I'm forgetting something. I didn't, like, write anything down. Oh, Liv Morgan's right, and I think Liv Morgan's always been right.
In what regard?
Everything. It's okay, starting to show everything that she said over the last year has been right. The whole Jade Cargo thing.
Yeah.
Where Jade had to sit down. And
that was incredible.
Once again, we caught it on the TFW podcast. I told you guys last show, you got to put her in a sit down backstage environment.
Sure did. Yep.
To counteract what Naomi and Bianca did. And what did they do? Sit down. There you go. Free game. But she basically just said, like, told you. Rhea Ripley. Liv Morgan was right about Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley has been showing her ass the last 2 weeks.
Yep.
Actually, last few weeks. She ain't coming across as a babyface at all right now.
She Bogarting her way in just like John Cena is. She ain't had to sell her soul, though. That's the difference.
Well, maybe John Cena didn't sell his soul because he didn't talk about it.
I hate that promo again. Actually, I'm back to that. I'm back on that energy.
Worst promo in the world. And he putting it over. You know he deep down hate that damn promo. He just knew we had to get some content for this podcast. That's all that was.
I'm like everybody else in the world. It was fine.
Fire.
What is Solo and Jacob doing for WrestleMania?
I think so. Remember, I don't book the bloodline, but I think Solo is going to, we know this. Solo is going to have to turn on Jacob just because of how he is repping for Jacob now. It's kind of like, is he trying to do what they were trying to have Gunther do with Damian Priest, like getting these mind games into Jacob's head? So I think that's where we're going to go. I think that Solo may be a bad guy because he might have to, because Jacob is so over in this feud between the two of them. Assuming this is the two of them at Mania, I think Solo is going to be the bad guy.
Why would you assume that right now, though?
Because I think he is trying to make Jacob believe, like, I'm repping for you, in a sense. And then giving Jacob that false security that, yeah, that who I called the tribal chief is now looking at me as either equal or more. And I think he's gonna turn on him. But I don't book the bloodline.
Hey, question for you. Who's in line for LA Knight in the championship at WrestleMania?
Barbie Logan Paul again?
Hell no. Logan Paul's on Raw.
They have
Logan Paul
yet,
and AJ
right?
Styles. LA Knight.
Oh, we can go back and get Nakamura.
Because this is what Nakamura. I ask. Because, like, you know, these, like, SmackDown, because of how long it is, it's on a Friday night. I watch the show in pieces. So, like, this is what I'm talking about when I watch these shows casually at this point, right? Like, I'm not sitting there on a Friday night or any point in the weekend for 3 fucking hours staring at this wrestling show.
2 hours and 20 minutes if you fast forward through commercials.
I ain't trying to do that. That's too much time. So, like, I sit in, you know, if it's on and, you know, it catches my attention, I'm good. But if not, you know, so that's what I ask, because, like, maybe I missed something. Because I had a question for you guys. It kind of plays into, like, your question. Is that, like, what Mania matches do you want to see that haven't been announced yet? And for me, I'm like, I would rather see Jacob Fatu versus LA Knight for the championship with Solo in his corner. Now, I'm not hype on seeing a Jacob Solo match for Mania. I'm very, very high on Jacob Fatu. Of course, I think we all are, right? You can see it. This guy, whatever his next program is going to be, major. I can't just watch it, and I'm not really trying to. I can't see what the next thing is for Jacob, but Solo ain't it.
No, it doesn't feel like it.
Like, Solo ain't it from a face perspective. He ain't it from a heel perspective to see that, like, oh, I would love to see, you know, Jacob get his hands on Solo. I'm not interested in that. Like, what I am interested, I would love to see Jacob keep ascending up the ladder, right, past Solo. Like, you know, see him in the championship, right? See him continue to build his mystique and his resume onto being a potential and future main eventer. Like, right? Because I don't see what the next thing is for LA Knight. I like LA Knight, but I like to see him take that tan for Jacob at WrestleMania.
Is LA Knight versus Solo, though, setting LA Knight up to fail? Not Solo, Jacob.
But, Jake, that's what I was about to say. You just took it off of Nakamura.
Yeah.
So now is that setting him up to fail?
Because, I mean, LA Knight is over, but is he that is. Setting him up to get booze or not be as popular as he should be for a WrestleMania match?
I think when you think about LA Knight, I think LA Knight has his place on the card. I think Dave, he has a place, like, right? Like, I would say he's below, like, a KO, of course, like a Sammy, because, like, those guys can go up and down into, like, to the championship realm, and you could potentially think they can win, like, right? I don't think LA Knight challenges for, even right now, as a U.S. champion, I don't feel like he can beat a world champion. Not right now. Like, right. So, and the type of popularity he is, he's fun. He's going out there. You can go, yeah. You can get to the promo. His wrestling is fine. If he wins or loses, I don't think it matters as far as where he is in the eye of the fan. I think he just won those. He has a place. And I think he's going to stay in that place. It doesn't matter if he wins or loses.
So, you're saying, like, him just winning the belt, it's not going to hurt him if he loses it next month?
Nope.
Got you. I cannot remember. Jog my memory. Who won between KO and Sammy? Just the non-sanction match a few weeks ago.
Sammy.
Yes.
Sammy won, and then KO.
But then
left
KO. But KO. Yeah, retaliated after. Yep.
Yeah.
Solo. Sammy got the win.
Because I was thinking, because you just talked about, like, where LA Knight is on the card. You mentioned KO. You said Sammy, even though I think Sammy's on Raw. Is Sammy missing WrestleMania?
Is he only going to be there
to do a run-in for the KO and Randy Orton match? Because he ain't got nothing cooking. I mean, KO laid him out, right? So, like, when he does come back, that's the guy he probably should come back for. But you got Orton. I wonder if somehow Sammy misses WrestleMania in terms of having a match.
You know, I honestly, when I look at the car, I assume he was missing it.
See?
Yep, me too.
So, okay, so then back to your question. You said one match that is not announced that you want to see. Now, are we going to what we think is, like, a realistic match for Mania?
Well, you know, mine, I just booked some shit for my ass.
Okay, so yours, so your ass booked LA Knight and Jacob. Renisha, you got one that's not announced yet. You like, man, I got to see that.
Yep.
Which one?
A singles match between, pick two of the three, Roman, Seth, or CM Punk. That is what I want to see. I do not want to see Triple A. I want to see a singles match.
But you know you're getting a triple threat.
We know we're getting a triple
threat. They're both going to be on SmackDown. All three of them going to be on SmackDown Friday. We're eating that triple threat.
But no, I don't want that.
I'm going to go with what match is not announced that I want to see for WrestleMania? Damn. Liv and Raquel are the tag team champions, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So give me Liv and Raquel versus
Have B go double duty. But I forgot, Jay's going against Naomi.
I'm even trying to think, like, an NXT team. I don't even know who they would. They got to have a match at Mania. I don't know. I feel like we're missing something. So sorry if the content is not right. Somebody's probably screaming right now at the screen, like, we should see it. I don't know. Because they're not, right now they're feuding with, Raquel has a match with Jade on Friday.
No, you're not wrong. They won the titles. Really, to me, I felt like they took the titles off those girls to move that story further. And then it kind of gives the Judgment Day some titles to have in the click, right? So they can say they, like, you know, they have championships. But there's no clear feud for them. And, you know, just in talking about it, I wouldn't mind seeing And, you know, and they've had a friendship, and they've been kind of partnered a few times on SmackDown. You know, B-Fab and Meechan. Give them something to do.
Yeah.
But is that a Mania match, though?
No, it's not. It's not a Mania match. And it was funny that Meechan match a couple weeks ago, I think it was a hardcore match she had. And, like, commentary just doesn't do her favors. You know, we had talked a few weeks ago about her not connecting with the crowd, and they were, like, overly putting it on about her being, like, a hardcore legend queen of, like, matches. Like, she's not that. Like, that's how people don't connect, because you try to overpush it. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, that's a good question. Like, I should have thought about that a little bit more. But that's that thing that's kind of the fun part about where they are right now with Mania is we got our big matches now kind of set, but then everything else does feel like it's still kind of up in the air a little bit. So,
you guys feeling good about the build so far? I know you guys were saying it's still got a lot of time left.
Mm-hmm. I am.
We got a month later.
Yeah, because now you got Roman's back, right? So now you're seeing that triple threat. I think there's no way we're not going to be excited for that match when it comes. They're going to do what they need to do for the build. We got Cena, you know, and Cody. The women's match, I really think they may position that to be the main event of night one.
That'd be good. I'd be happy.
Even after last night, I was like, yeah, I could see it. Because we still got to get to a way to how Rhea is officially added to the match. But no, I feel pretty good. Because you're still talking about... you don't have
Raws and five SmackDowns left. FYI.
Yeah, so you don't have an official match for some of your heavy hitters. Solo is a heavy hitter. You don't have a match for Solo. You don't have a match for Jacob. You don't have a match. We just talked about the tag team titles. You don't have a match for Jade yet. You don't have a match for Naomi, even though we think that's going to be one-on-one. We don't have a match for Penta yet. We don't have a match for Bron Breakker yet. We don't have a match for... we know it's going to be Drew and Damian Priest, but we don't have a match.
Which one? The U.S. title match. We don't have a Raw tag team title match. We don't have a SmackDown title match.
Or the Andre the Giant over the top battle royal.
Oh,
well, that's when we on that SmackDown.
This is when it's time to go home.
Yep, that's me on that SmackDown right there.
Andre the Giant.
Speaking of SmackDown, WWE is getting outrageous with their ticket prices, even more so than what is normal. People relax. Just don't buy them.
Ain't that the truth?
Just don't buy them.
For real.
Prices will drop.
Ridiculous.
I'm seeing a lot of people who are up in arms. And yeah, if it's something that's going to sell out, pay up or don't go. But I'm seeing a lot of people just really talking about the price of some of these tickets. Don't buy them. Price will go down. If not, then you'll be on outside looking in. But we'll probably do Monday Night Raw after WrestleMania. But like that SmackDown show, prices are fucking $300 a ticket, $350 a ticket. I'm not doing that for the night before WrestleMania. Hall of Fame prices are ridiculous. I remember getting close to where we were talking to the wrestlers for $150 a ticket. I used to be able to take three of us for $520 like after taxes. These prices for this year for Hall of Fame, they ain't getting you two seats in like the third level. I was like, they'll find the spot where people will start getting hip to the game of tickets go on sale. That's too much. AEW's figured it out.
Yep.
They are coming back here in May at the Hoffman Estates arena and seats where we typically sit, like, you know, a couple rows up right across from the hard cam. This time, those seats, $65 a ticket. I didn't buy them, but they're learning.
Yep.
You got to price where your demand is. So if you're tripping right now, take a deep breath, relax. Those prices will come down.
If not, you have fun in Vegas.
Or wherever.
Right? I'm talking about people who are going to Vegas. Yep. So if you have fun, plan something else out. You'll have a great time.
Look, them prices ain't going down no time soon, because for every person that ain't going to buy a ticket, there's somebody that will. Like, right? This is just like with the inflation. Everybody that's complaining about things are too high, then tell your neighbor to stop buying it. So it's going to be what it's going to be. But guess what? You can watch this shit on TV for $3.99. And you get to see the fireworks, you get to hear the commentary, you get to see everything from the comfort of your own estate. Nothing like it. WrestleMania at the Big Daddy Cave. Woo! I got to decide what wings I'm getting to. There's a new pizza place that opened up around the corner.
What's your plans for Mania weekend? Are you like taking? Are you working at all that weekend?
Oh hell no!
So then, like, are you locked in? Are you locked in on like NXT Saturday morning, SmackDown Friday night? Watching everything?
I think for once, I'm actually going to be a hardcore fan and actually watch these shows. Make a weekend out of it, because I typically don't, right? And I'm just going to get into it. I'm going to see what's going on with Brandon, see what he want to do. That's a lot. Hey, look, B, that's a lot of time spent together, man. We spend three whole days together all day long if we sit and watch these shows together, man. So, but, you know, I might link up with Brandon. I might watch a couple shows. Could invite my brother-in-law over, man, but all he going to do is shit on the shows. The whole damn time. That's what he do.
Yeah, they got time for that, man.
Keep him away. Listen, E, I'm going to put it all on black. We're going to hit big, and we're going to fly. We're going to flew you out. You and Brandon. We're going to fly you out.
I ain't flying no grown man out like that.
That's what I said. That's what I said. I am. I'm going to do it.
I do want to, we started with something. I do want to end with something non-wrestling related. So we started with talking about the John Cena promo. And my eyes are telling me it's not good. Right, there's something else that is super popular that we've been watching that my eyes are also telling me is not good.
No, you can't do that.
And that is Severance season 2.
No, you cannot do that. First off, it's not complete yet.
Doesn't matter.
You can't even do that. No.
Doesn't matter.
Listen, y'all.
I am so tired of having.
I already stopped listening.
To wait until something is over to say if it's good or not.
That's
you
not
are giving me an hour episode every single week. I should be entertained during those hour episodes. If I'm not entertained, I don't want to hear about, oh, it's deep. Oh, they haven't told you everything yet. Oh, everything's going to connect at the end. If I'm not entertained in that moment, it's not that good. Season 1 was incredible.
But you are having recency bias. Season 1 was like that for at least the first 4 episodes. I remember we were like, we still don't know what we're watching here. This is absolutely ridiculous. I get what you're saying. Our time is the most valuable resource that we have. So if you're watching something for 52 minutes and you feel non-satisfied at the end of it, you have all the right to say what you're saying here. I'm just saying, shoot them some bail. They already have emotional equity built in us. Wait until this Friday, watch the season finale, and then say what you're going to say.
I'll still watch it. It's not good. I don't care if the season finale is the best season finale in television history. The season's not good. What was the...
I disagree with that. What was the
first Disney show on Disney Plus?
Hawkeye.
No, it wasn't Hawkeye. It was the...
Moon Knight.
Mm-mm. What was
no,
it?
No, what Moon Knight?
You mean one with Marvel? Yeah. The one with the woman. What was it called?
You talking like Elektra? Like back in the 2000s?
Just, no.
I'm like, what are we talking about here?
What is it called?
No, that was a movie. That was Black Widow.
No, not Miss Marvel.
He's talking about Black Widow.
Yeah, because that was new.
Not Black Widow. What's the other one? Who was the one that dresses in red? Why am I forgetting her name right now?
In red?
I am having a brain fart.
Captain America?
No.
Me, Miss Marvel? Or you say Miss Marvel?
About, not Scarlet Witch.
Right? What was the name of that show?
WandaVision.
WandaVision.
You felt the same way about WandaVision, though.
WandaVision.
Don't sit up here.
I did not. WandaVision, we watched like the first 2 episodes, and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm watching, but I like it. Severance 2 is not that way. It's just not good. It is not good. So,
I disagree with you 100%. It is good. If you say that it's taking a long time to tell this story, the first season did not have the luxury to tell a story. For you to be the pro wrestling fan that you are, I can't believe that you can't appreciate a good story being told here. They have now time to tell this story. This is a slow burn.
And again, thank you. You just proved my point.
What's the point?
Of everybody who has enjoyed this John Cena promo, and it's everything you just said about why you didn't like the John Cena promo, but you want me to do that for the Severance show.
No.
Thank you so much for proving the point that you are just a diehard Severance fan.
Like John Cena.
So all of a sudden, the Severance just can't do no wrong.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Matt, you are like on a whole nother level.
You can't do
anything. I'm back in the Twilight Zone because Matt just trying to spin something.
No, you just proved it.
Yes.
You just proved it. So I like that. Hey, shout out.
Go ahead, real quick before you go, like, because, like, you know, I love talking TV. You know, I don't, the show, I know what you're talking about. I don't think it's nerdy enough for me to watch, spend time on, but I heard it was really, really good. And there's something too with both of you said, right? I think Rhodesia is absolutely right, because a lot of shows can be a slow burn, but it has to be interesting. Something by it has to kind of catch you. Now, on the second season of something, they kind of go back to it's almost like they hit the reset button. So they're going back to that same type of style, right? So the last cliffhanger from the last season was hot, 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 hot. And then when the season two starts, now they're trying to slow it down. It's almost kind of like in your mind, you got to stay where you was when you ended, right? And that's kind of the tricky thing with those type of stories. So I understand both of your perspectives. But what I will say, what I want y'all to do, continue watching that Twilight Zone, man. Like, look, if y'all can go back into the day, if y'all got some time, if y'all got 20 minutes, start watching the old Rod Sterling shows, man. Like, those stories, like, they were so thought-provoking, y'all.
And it's like eight seasons or something.
Oh,
right?
Man, it's ridiculous, man. I used to watch, like, the marathon back in the day when I was a kid. I had a lot more time than I got now. But, man, like a lot of the social, like, they had a lot of social problems mixed into the sci-fi. Like, they mixed, like, social problem and racism and things of that nature into these stories. And they make you think you're talking about, like, aliens and other kinds of shit. Really, there's a lot of the social issues that are still present today. It's a phenomenal show that was very thought-provoking back in the day. And if you guys get into Jordan Peele, you know how his content is. You know, get out.
I want to watch.
He
need access to that. Yeah, I need access to the content. And the reason why I thought
is
about...
Is that on Peacock?
No, I don't think so. Google didn't say it was. Because somebody had told me like a week and a half ago or something. They were like, hey, there was an episode back in the day of Twilight Zone where there was an older man who was buying people's lifetime. So he would go up to somebody. He would say, hey, how much is like 5 years of your life worth? And they would say like, oh, $20. And then he would give him $20 and he would take those years. So then he became younger and that person would immediately be like 5 years older. He was saying, he's like, I wish I could switch like time with you because you're younger than I am right now. I was like, man, that sounds like a really good show. He's like, yeah, that was the Twilight Zone. So that was kind of why my mind started thinking about Twilight Zone just a couple days ago. But Twilight Zone is absolutely better than Severance season 2. I've only watched one episode.
Damn.
Twilight. I mean, not Twilight.
I was going off on you and I was on mute. Listen. Okay. My two of like my 3 to 4 favorite shows of all time has to pay homage to Twilight Zone. Fringe and X-Files. Without the Twilight Zone, we would have never gotten X-Files. And without X-Files, we never would have gotten Fringe. And that, to me, is in my bag. I love that kind of stuff. And like you said, a lot of that stuff was before its time. Because a lot of those things, it was taboo to talk about certain things like that back in the late 60s and early 70s. So Twilight Zone, though, for the original, I hate black and white. I cannot watch a movie in black and white. I cannot watch TV in black and white. So I cannot watch the original. I like the music, the beginning theme song. Other than that, no. That's why I got in the late 81.
Ah, I got you. See, them late 81s, they didn't hit for me. Hey, just let you guys know before we sign off. It looks like the Jordan Peele version is on Amazon.
Oh, I got that.
Amazon Prime, like, do we have to purchase it or can we just
it says
press
free.
Play?
That's what they said about Fringe. And they
guess what we're doing right now.
January 1st.
Guess what we're doing after we press the stop button.
About to go do something.
It's on. I just clicked the button. Yep.
You better go do something that grown-ups do.
Actually, I'm probably about to eat dinner and then go to sleep.
But, I'm about to say something that grown-ups do.
If it wasn't for that, it would have been, yes, maybe that, and then somehow watch. I'm exhausted. There's no other way around it. I am sleepy. I am tired, and I got to be up at like 6 o'clock in the morning. So,
I'm saying.
Yeah. So we're going to have this out to you guys on Wednesday. Hopefully you enjoy it. I know you will enjoy it. Y'all know the deal already. Follow us on Twitter. That's F&W. Instagram, that's F&W. YouTube, that's Freaking Wrestling. Watch us. We are all on all audio podcast places. And we are on YouTube. March to 1,000 subscribers is on. We got to put out more shorts and stuff. So you got to do it. We out. Love y'all. Talk to you next week.